Well, today is a special day, and we've got the curtain pulled back so you can see the baptismal. You know, that's sort of old school, but I sort of like it. But there is several that are going to be baptized, and like Craig said, if you want to participate in being water baptized, you can get a hold of an usher and they'll get you to the right place. Okay? You know, I just want to talk a few moments about water baptism. So many times people don't understand the significance of water baptism, and really not a lot is said about it. They just baptize you in water and they don't say a whole lot about it. In Mark 1, verse number 4, we'll start at. Jesus came baptizing in the wilderness. Or John, excuse me. Let me start all over. John came baptizing in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Then all the land of Judah and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed in camel hair and with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. As he preached, saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I am, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to stoop down to loose. I indeed baptize you in water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice from heaven came and said, "You're my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Now, there are two Greek words that are used in this. Baptizo, B-A-P-T-I-Z-O, which means to immerse, to submerge, to cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash, to make clean with water, to wash oneself, bathe, to overwhelm. Now the other word is bapto, B-A-P-T-O, bapto. Now I think I'm going to borrow an illustration that I read about this. And it is saying that in order maybe to understand this, you know, when you make pickles, you take a vegetable called a what? A cucumber. And you dip it into boiling water first. That's bapto. But then it has to be baptizo, are baptized in a vinegar solution. Now, both of these require the immersion of the vegetable, but the second one, baptizing, produces a permanent change. When used in the New Testament, this word refers to our union and identification with Christ, which makes a permanent change in our lives. Mark 16:16, "He that believes and baptized shall be saved." Now there must be a real union with Christ, a real change. You know, like the cucumber. It has a real change, right? You can eat a cucumber, but you can eat a pickle, and they're completely different. When somebody is born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they become completely different. They are changed, just like the cucumber is. You know, a little funny that I read. This preacher, he was baptizing people, and so he says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son. And holy moly, I forgot to take off my watch. I thought we might could use a little laugh. Now let's go to Mark 3, and read a little how Mark talks about the baptism of Jesus in Mark 3:13-15. I'll wait till everybody gets there. I see some people finding it on their device, others looking in their Bible, so I'll wait a minute so that everybody's there. Okay. I'm sorry. I've got to let you go back a book. Okay. Matthew 3. You got it? All right. Then Jesus came to Galilee to John at Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. You're coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so, for thus is fitting for us to fulfill all the righteousness. Then he allowed it. Let's read that from the NLT version. Then Jesus went from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. Why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed and baptized him. Now here, the gospel is telling us, the gospels are, that John recognized who Jesus was. If you remember, John was Jesus' cousin. And he was the forerunner for Jesus. John understood his role, understood who he was, and he was quite concerned here when Jesus came to him for baptism, and he said, wait a minute, you should be baptizing me. But Jesus said, this must be done because this is what God requires, or we might say, this is God's plan, and we have to fulfill it. You know, so as we look at this, Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan to carry out God's plan. That's why, one of the reasons that we come to be baptized is to carry out the plan of God that is said in the, I read it already. Come and repent of your sins and be baptized. Now, I want you to notice that something happened at Jesus' baptism that is quite unique. And let's go back there to Mark 1:10. Okay. I'll give you a chance to turn there. Because many people sort of look over this, but this is interesting. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens departed and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In the full sight of the crowd, because there was a crowd there, God claimed Jesus. He said, you are my Son, you belong to me. That's what God is saying about you when you're baptized. He's saying, you're my child. But now, by baptism, you're saying to everyone, I am God's child. So the baptism, in one sense, God is saying, you're my child. On the other hand, as you come up out of the water, you are saying, I'm God's child. You know, in full sight of this congregation, every one of you and most of them that will be baptized are sitting right up there. I want you to understand that this is a very sacred ritual, as some people call it. I don't, but it's a very sacred thing. Through this baptism, you are saying, I belong to God, and God is saying, you belong to me. But not only did God claim Jesus publicly here, but God did something else. He named him. He said, you are my beloved son. Now, all of us like to be called by our right name. With a name as easy to pronounce as Hagin, H-A-G-I-N, I've been called everything. I had a PE teacher for 3 solid years in junior high school, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And I told him every time, he'd call me Hagin. And I've been called Higgins. And I've been called Hagin. You know, some of you may have the same problem with your name. But through our baptism, not only does God claim us, but God gives us names. The best name he has given is Forgiven. That's the best name he's given you, Forgiven. But let's look at some of the other names. Go to 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1. We're given a lot of names, but I want to zero in on some. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Now, NLT says it like this. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. Then look at John 15:15. John 15:15. There's another name. See, we've been given the name Forgiven. We've been called by the name Children of God, or Child of God, bringing it down to yourself. John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all the things that I have heard, my father, I have made known to you. He called you friend. That's another name that he calls you. See, when we're baptized, he claims us, and then he names us. Okay? Now, look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Okay, I still see some people turning. I'll wait a minute. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering. Here, he calls us holy and beloved. Man, actually, I read this. I didn't go count it, so I read this. We are called beloved 62 times in the New Testament. 62 times we are called beloved. Now, in 2 Corinthians 6:16, it says, 2 Corinthians 6:16, I'll let you turn there. I just thought I'd just give a little explanation about water baptism. Anybody getting anything out of this? See, it's more than going up there and going underwater. The significance of water baptism carries a lot of different connotations and it says a lot of different things. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Here, we're called the temple of God, where God dwells. And we all know this, that we always say that God dwells with us. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. See, baptism, water baptism is a very sacred and a very scriptural thing. And we need to understand the importance of it and rejoice with those. And I think they said we have 100, I believe somebody said, that are being baptized today. We need to rejoice with them at their public declaration. You know, another name we're called, and this is the one that we call his disciple. Now, what does that mean? What does that name give to us? That name says that we are following his instructions closely and living by what the word of God. You know, it says that we don't live on bread, natural food, but we live on every word that comes from God. So he calls you disciple. Now, the last thing I want to look at about our name with God is found in Luke 10:20. Luke 10:20. I hear pages rustling. I'll wait till I don't hear the pages rustling. Then I know you got there. Takes these people that are turning to it. The ones in the that got it on their device get there a little quicker. But sometimes I think we need to carry our Bibles again. I know we got it on our device. I got it on, I don't know how many translations I got right here. But sometimes it's good just to carry that word. Hello? Okay. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in those that the spirits are subject to, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. You know, I just got a few of the names. There's other names that we're called by, but I think these are the ones that have very significance for us. Let me close out with a statement made by William Willimon. He was a chaplain and a professor of preaching at Duke University. He said, in baptism, we are initiated, crowned, chosen, embraced, washed, adopted, gifted, reborn, thereby sent forth and redeemed. We are identified as one of God's own, then reassigned to our place and our job within the kingdom. I don't think it can be said much better than that. I want to try to simplify everything that I have just said. The act of baptism is simply saying to everyone, I've been changed to a new person in Christ, and when I go under that water, I'm saying I died to my sin. And when I'm raised out of that water, I am saying I am a new person in Christ. The old past life is gone, and all things have become brand new in Christ. That's just a little simple explanation about water baptism. I trust that you got the real significance of what I was saying today. Now, you that are going to be baptized, I want to dismiss you right now. Would you go? You have your instruction paper. If you want to go and you haven't signed up, go to the baptismal area, and all you that are going, leave your personal belongings, jewelry, contacts, glasses, wallets, cell phones, and so forth at your seat with a friend or relatives. You can bring them items with you to the baptismal area if you want. This room may be unsecure. They've tried to keep somebody on the door, but occasionally somebody has to go help somebody else. Okay. You have a card that you've been given, so take it and give it to the people. Okay? Now, would everybody bow your heads for just a moment, please? I know I talked about being baptized in water, and that's what the Bible says. Repent of your sins and be baptized. If you happen to be in this place today, and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, then you need to know Him. Or, if you know what it is to serve Christ, and you are not living exactly like you should, you can rededicate your life to Him today. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hands, please. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you upstairs, downstairs, wherever you're at in this room. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you right now. Anybody, anywhere. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, your Son, that died at Calvary, was raised for our salvation. If there happens to be one person that's under the sound of my voice in this room or watching online that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as personal Savior, or needs to rededicate their lives, I pray that the precious convicting power of the Holy Spirit would go with them, and they would not be comfortable doing anything until they stop and confess you as Lord and Savior of their life. Amen and amen and amen.